Hello and welcome to this reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. We continue in our exploration into matters of the heart, and of course we cannot consider the condition of our hearts without recognising our need for God to search us, root out the sin in us, and pour his vast, never-ending forgiveness and grace into repentant and contrite hearts. So as we think on this, we'll look at two psalms created by David, which gives us an honest, intimate insight into the depths of his heart. The two psalms we'll be thinking about are Psalms 51 and 139. And our focus will mainly be on Psalm 51, but we will include some insights from Psalm 139 as we go along. So let's read those two psalms, starting with Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before. You lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And then Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. And you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. you who are God, my Saviour, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. So those two psalms are beautiful insights into the depths of David's heart as he pours out his feelings and his emotions to God. So how does this help us with understanding about forgiveness? God loves to pour out his forgiveness and grace. Are we willing to come to him truly wanting that forgiveness? If this is our desire, then how do we seek God's forgiveness? What can we do to practically prepare our hearts to receive God's amazing grace? So one of the first steps to seeking forgiveness is to recognise that we need it. So often our sins turn into bad habits that we don't even notice we are doing. Or perhaps even worse, there are sins that we do not want to stop because we enjoy them. George Eliot said, "No evil dooms us hopelessly, except the evil we love and desire to continue in and make no effort to escape from." The problem with sin is that we actually enjoy doing it, even if only for a moment or that split second of acting. For example, when we are feeling angry, it can be momentarily enjoyable to release some of that anger by snapping at someone and saying something unpleasant. Even if we regret it later, in that moment there is a dark part of us that enjoyed being able to snap at someone. Even the sin of not acting when we know we should occurs at least in part because of the attractiveness of doing nothing. For example, when we feel God is calling us to say something to the woman in tears at the supermarket, it is easier and more comfortable to continue going about our business than stopping and responding to God's call to help the woman. Or when we feel nudged to place money in a collection tin, but we would rather spend it on something nice for ourselves, so we keep our hands in our pockets and walk on by. There are so many ways that the temptation of sin actually gives us some sort of pleasure. So we need God to search us and help us to recognise where we are tempted into sin. In Psalm 139, David asked God, "Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." As David makes clear in the rest of the psalm, God knows us intimately, more than we know ourselves. So this means that nothing is hidden from God. He is aware of every little detail about us. So when David asks God to search him, it is not because he thinks that God hasn't noticed something. It is so God can identify and highlight to David what needs to be repented of and given over to him. We don't always realise we've got into sinful habits. By praying for God to search us, we give him permission to highlight the things in our lives that need to change. And sometimes God highlights these things by using other people. The context of Psalm 51 demonstrates this. David wrote this psalm after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and had her husband killed in Bethel. Nathan the prophet confronted David about this, challenging him about the evilness of his behaviour. And the result of this challenge ensured that David felt convicted of his sin, and thus he wrote Psalm 51 in a plea to God to renew him and give him a clean heart. This encounter between David and Nathan reminds us of the importance of having close Christian friends who are able and willing to have an honest and difficult conversation with us when they notice us straying from God's side. Who is in your life who will speak truth into your life when you need to hear it? Are you prepared to and willing to speak truth into the lives of those close to you? Do you have a relationship with others which allows this two-way speaking of truth to occur? So having identified where we have fallen into sinful, rebellious ways, the next step to seeking forgiveness is to be truly repentant. In Psalm 51, David speaks to God from a place of humility, brokenness, and sorrow. He says, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." God doesn't want us to seek forgiveness just out of habit or duty. He wants us to truly recognise our need for forgiveness and desire to have it. In Jewish culture at the time of David, people would make sacrifices and offering to God to cleanse themselves from the wrong things they've done. However, it was extremely easy for these to become just religious duty or habit, or even worse, for these rituals to be performed for others to see how holy someone was being. So when David says that God doesn't delight in sacrifice or offering, this is what he's referring to: these empty rituals and false sacrifices. So instead, David models what God really desires: a broken and contrite heart, in need of God's healing and forgiveness. When we become aware of sin in our lives, when we come in repentance over the things we do wrong or the good things we fail to do, do we come with broken and contrite hearts, in need of God's healing, forgiveness and grace? Do we feel sorrow over the fact that we rebel against so easily and turn away from his awesome love? At the end of this, I want to encourage you to have a time to be still before God and allow him to meet powerfully, intimately with you. As you come before the Most Holy One, can you lay before him your failings and come with an honest and humble plea for forgiveness? When we do come before God, asking for forgiveness, we need to remember that we are totally dependent on his abundant grace. At the beginning of Psalm 51, David reminds himself of the mercy and grace of God. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." We cannot win or earn forgiveness. It is only through the wonderful love, the compassionate grace of God that we receive mercy. Satan often tries to tell us that forgiveness can be earned, and we find ourselves striving pointlessly, endlessly, to be good enough to earn God's love and forgiveness. But God's grace does not work like that. He gives us his grace freely, without condition, as long as we actually want it. Satan also fools us that we do not deserve forgiveness, and so God will never forgive us. Satan tells us that we're too messed up for God to forgive us. We have sinned too badly for God to consider making us clean. But this is a vile lie, told to stop us from coming to our amazing, loving God. As David says, God's love is unfailing. This means that there is nothing that it cannot cover, nothing that it cannot overcome. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Let not your sense of sin make you think little of my master. You are a great sinner, but he is a greater saviour. Do not say that you have matched Christ or overmatched him. So we need to recognise the awesome, endless abundance of God's grace and rest secure that no matter what we do, no matter how badly we mess up, God is always willing to forgive. So we're forgiven by our almighty, holy God. Through the Holy Spirit, God creates in us a pure heart. He renews a steadfast spirit within us. So what? How do we respond to this amazing grace? Well, firstly, we respond in praise. David says, "Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise." Knowledge of the boundless riches of God's grace causes joy to rise up in us, and so we desire to praise him. It was this desire to praise God that caused the pastor and poet John Newton to write that famous hymn, Amazing Grace. He could barely believe that God's grace could save a wretch like me, and so he praised and worshipped God with all his heart. Do we continue to be amazed by God's grace? Do we continue to worship and praise God for his endless love and mercy? Let us ensure we never get complacent about how amazing God's grace is. Let us never become ungrateful or apathetic to the amazing mercies we find in God. God's grace causes us to praise him, but it also stirs up in us a desire within us to tell others of the freedom and forgiveness we've been offered. David says, "Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you." He was so blown away by the joy of being forgiven and loved by God that David's immediate response is to tell others about God's ways. He wants others to know the freedom of being reunited to God, and so he wants to teach them to turn back to God. We can fall into the trap of becoming blasé or apathetic about God's grace, and we forget what an awesome privilege and blessing it is. When we feel this way, we do not feel that urge to pass on this privilege and blessing to others by sharing with them the good news. Ask the Holy Spirit to spark a fire in your heart to remind you of how amazing God's grace is. Who can you share the news of God's grace with? How might you do that this week? I challenge you to think of one person you want to share the good news with. Pray to God and ask him for the strength, courage, and conviction to talk with that person. Ask him to provide you with an opportunity to communicate the great joy you feel at being set free from the chains of your wrongdoing. You don't have to preach to them. You don't have to sort of Bible bash them. Just tell them a bit of your story of how God has shown you love and forgiveness. Just imagine if every week we were able to share the good news with just one person. What might God do with those seeds scattered in this community? So take notice of the example of David when seeking forgiveness. Ask God to search your heart and chase out any offensive way in you. Turn to him with a broken and contrite heart, truly seeking for God's forgiveness. Rely on God's abundant grace. Recognise that he's willing to forgive us any sin, no matter how many times we come to him. And so in response, praise him and honour him for the glorious things he has done, and share the good news with others, helping them to accept God's forgiveness too. So before you go about the rest of your day, would you take time to seek God, to truly allow him to search your heart, and to repent of the things that you know are standing between him and you? Take this time to really come before God and be forgiven by him.